Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Pastor Dave, how are
you? Hi, Cecilia. I'm fine. How about you?
I'm good, but I'm kind of feeling a bit wistful, I guess you'd say.
Wistful? What are you wisting for?
I am thinking of things that I wished could be or that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any wishes like that?
No, at the moment I don't think of any, but what did you have?
Two wishes in particular. I always wanted to be 6 feet tall.
You are a tall gal. You're not 6 foot?
No, I'm not. I'm 5'9".
Oh.
And 3/4 inches.
Oh, don't forget the 3/4. No,
that's right.
No, no.
They're okay. Very important.
What's your other wish?
I always wanted to be able to climb trees.
Climb a tree?
You know, to have to put your foot in the branch and then boost yourself up and go higher and higher. And finally, to be able to sit in that tree and feel the wind moving it back and forth. Oh.
Hear the people down below walking by.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
interesting. Well, interesting wishes. And actually, those two wishes kind of flow into what we're going to be talking about in room 4216. Shall we head on in?
We shall head on in.
We're going to start with Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. This is the story about Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector. What's interesting, before we start this story, is back in chapter 5, Jesus called Levi, we know him as Matthew, a tax collector as well. And he left everything, a lucrative business, to follow Jesus. And he was one of many disciples. And discipleship, it notes, was costly. I mean, it cost Matthew his living. And then Levi had a banquet for him. What's fascinating here is just before Jesus enters Jerusalem, he meets another tax collector. After calling him, he has a banquet. We're going to listen to this in the Bible in Living Sound. They do a marvelous job. So rather than Cecilia and I speaking about it and explaining it, Bible in Living Sound not only has the verses, but then good background message with it as well.
Zacchaeus, dear, you look fine this evening. Simply gorgeous.
Yes, I know. But tell me, my little wife, what is it you want this time?
Can't fool you, can I?
I've known you too long.
Well, dear, I could use a new dress.
A new dress? Another one? Whatever for?
Oh, never mind, dear. If we can't afford it, I can get along very well without it.
Afford it? Who said we couldn't? We can afford anything we want. Anything. I'm a tax collector, remember? And I earn as much as anyone in Jericho, I guess. Go get your dress, two of them. Just as a matter of curiosity, not that I care, but the new dress. Do you intend to go somewhere?
As a matter of fact, yes. John, the man of the wilderness, is going to be near town tomorrow, and I'd like to hear him. And I have to be well dressed.
John, the Baptist? Oh, go, by all means. I wish that I could go with you. Did he sound sincere?
Yes. Yes, I would say so.
Repent and forsake sin. Repent, for no sinner shall enter the kingdom of heaven.
I wonder what he meant by that.
It's quite obvious, I think. The kingdom of God is made up of people who have forsaken all sin. It is a kingdom where sin does not exist.
But, well, just what is sin? Are we as full of sin as the temple priests and elders say? And how can we repent if we can't even go into the temple?
Good question. I must study the scripture more and find out the truth.
Have you found out the truth yet?
Scripture has much to say about repentance and forgiveness.
Oh, but you've already been studying a long time.
I want to know the full truth, not just a part of it. Today I heard about a man named Jesus. He treats with respect and kindness all classes of people. Publicans, Samaritans, everyone. He must be a wonderful man. I would like to know him. Exact no more than that which is appointed to you.
Stop mumbling to yourself. I'd like to hear what you're saying.
According to the scriptures, and John, and Jesus, I'm doing wrong. I am a sinner.
Then there is no hope for us?
According to the teaching of our leaders, no. But according to Jesus, yes. Repentance and reformation is possible. John said so, Jesus said so, and I believe it. There is hope.
Zacchaeus, I heard that Jesus is coming to Jericho. They say Jesus is just entering Jericho.
I'm going to see him.
Oh, how? There's such a large crowd with him that some go before him, some alongside, and some behind him. You couldn't get near him.
I'm going to try.
Well, try if you must, but it will do no good. With your small stature, you couldn't even see the top of his head over the crowd.
Well, if I don't get to see him, I must hear him. I have to try. This may be my last chance. Why, there are a lot of people. The most I've ever seen here in Jericho. I'll probably get trampled underfoot, but I'm going to try to get through anyway. Oh, pardon me, please.
Out of the way, runt.
This looks like a promising place to get through. Please, may I get through? I want to see Jesus.
See Jesus? Why do you think the rest of us are here? Out of the way!
Oh, it's no use. But I must see Jesus. I've got to. I've got to. Somehow. Ah, that large tree up ahead there, with branches spreading over the pathway. If I run fast enough, I can get there and climb out over the path and see Jesus as he passes underneath. I will see him from here. All kinds of people following Jesus. Strangers from faraway lands, merchants, priests, Pharisees, Roman officers and soldiers. I wonder how many of those down there have been healed by Jesus. Oh, there he is. Oh, what a kind face he has, and eyes. Those directly around him must be his disciples, and that... But they're stopping. Jesus is directly underneath. Jesus is looking up at me.
Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.
How did he know my name, and that I was up in the tree? Truly, he is a son of God.
Make way. Clear the way through here.
Lord and Master, please. I am unworthy that thou shouldst even look upon my sinful self. Behold, Lord, here in public I shall confess my sins and make repentance. Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And that which I have taken from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.
This day is salvation come to thy house, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost.
You what?
You are what?
I apologize for stipulating such a high tax for you. I took 20 talents. 10 would have been sufficient. So I am returning 18 talents. The extra is from me as interest, and to show you that I am sorry, and to pay you back for your inconvenience.
You really are sorry. Or insane.
What's your scheme now, Zacchaeus?
That's about the way it's been with everyone. They're sure I'm up to some new scheme to make more money.
Well, perhaps you should give up the idea.
Which idea? Paying back what I wrongfully got, or collecting only what is due?
Paying it back.
No, I'm convinced that I should pay it back. Well, I'm sure I shouldn't take something that is not rightfully mine. I don't need to be told that. To keep something that is not mine is equally as bad. I don't need to be told that. Something inside of me tells me I must pay it all back. So do the scriptures. So I must.
even if it makes us poor again.
I'd rather be rich in heaven for an eternity than rich here for just a few years, wouldn't you? Even if it makes us poor again.
I won't be poor. Not with such a wonderful husband at my side.
Will the meeting of the Tax Collectors Confederacy come to attention?
Ahan, why do you call the meeting? Zacchaeus is our chief. Where's he?
That, sir, is the reason for this meeting. Have you not noticed that he has been acting strangely? The last few weeks, he has been collecting the taxes at a very unrealistic figure.
Well, more power to him. The higher the chief grabs, the higher we can grab.
That's just it. He isn't taking more. He's taking less.
Less?
Yes, less. Why, the other day, a widow came in, said she had 20 goats. How many do you suppose Zacchaeus took for taxes?
Five? Seven? Oh, four at the very least.
Two kids.
Two kids?
Surely you jest.
And furthermore, we may as well admit that we are collecting more taxes than necessary. It is making or has made us rich. It is only for this reason that we became publicans. We must take the abuse and hatred of our own people.
We knew we would be refused temple attendance. The people would hate us, revile us, sometimes they even spit at us. Every man here must have considered that getting rich is worth the price of this sort of reaction. I move that we elect Ahan to be chief instead of Zacchaeus.
All in favor, so signify.
Aye.
So shall it be.
I would guess that the story of Zacchaeus is probably well known by a lot of people, for nothing else because of the Sunday school lesson and the song.
Was a
no,
wee little
no,
man.
Don't do that to me. No. Near the end, verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham." That's an interesting phrase, Cecilia, son of Abraham. And we've come across it a couple times in Luke, and we haven't really talked about it. But I would like to right now.
Sure.
Luke was writing not to the Jewish people of Israel, like Matthew to the people of Israel, but Luke was writing to Gentiles. And he wanted to help them know that Jesus is for all nations, all people, not just the Israelites. He backed it up to the first man of faith of the Bible, Abraham.
But Abraham wasn't the first man of faith. What about Noah?
Yes, you're right. Noah was a man of faith. But God started something new with a new covenant with Abraham when he called him out of the country of Ur and brought him into a promised land and said, "I will give this to you." He trusted God. And so that's why Abraham's called a man of faith. And that's why the book of Romans and the book of Galatians all refer to Abraham as the man of faith. And that's what Jesus does here too with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a hated vermin. In modern day language, it would be like, To you this day, salvation has come, even to a mobster who has killed lots of people.
Wow.
And we can see this elsewhere in Luke about the son of Abraham. It shows up first in Luke chapter 3, where John the Baptizer says, "Produce fruit with repentance." And don't begin to say, "We have Abraham as our father." That was John the Baptizer talking to people who were coming to him to be baptized. That to be a son of Abraham, it isn't a matter of keeping the law. And that's what everyone pretty much saw Judaism was law-keeping to get you to heaven. And Luke is emphasizing it's not law-keeping that gets you to heaven, but trusting and believing in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Later in Luke, Jesus was visiting another Pharisee. And he told another parable about a man preparing a feast. They liked to feast in those days, apparently.
Mm.
And he had this feast all ready. And he said to his servants, "Okay, go invite my friends, my neighbors." And they did, but the friends and neighbors had excuses. Then go to the not-so-good parts of town and find the people there. Find the poor, the blind, the lame. Bring them in. My house must be full. And they did, and there was great celebration there. From everywhere, he brought everyone.
We did talk about that. That was in chapter 14, and what a story that is. It shows again that Jesus was saying to the Israelites, you think you're the honored people, the chosen people? Well, God's going to reach out to the whole world, to the people you think are not invited. My salvation, Jesus was saying, is for all. You know, one of the things that stands humans out from any other animal or beast is we like to eat together. A time where we sit, we talk, we laugh. You had mentioned that they like to have feasts back then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do today, too. Think about it. How many times, what do we do? Christmas meal, Thanksgiving,
or just partying with friends for no reason.
Well, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It's because when you're sitting at a table, it's really hard to be eating and being together and fighting. It's a natural thing that actually enemies, and this is how many times peace treaties are finalized, is with a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually see this concept in the Old Testament of sitting down, God and men, at a meal of celebration.
In Exodus 24, we read about a time when Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was a pavement of something like sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against them, these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank.
God had just given the Ten Commandments, and it was kind of a celebration. Okay, you're my people. You've agreed to it. And so now let's go forth. In Luke chapter 14, just after Jesus had told a parable, when one of those at the table heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the table in the kingdom of God. Even back then, the people understood that the kingdom of God, heaven, was going to be a time of celebration.
And talk about feasts. Remember the prodigal son? He was dirt poor when he came back. What did his father say? Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate.
Yeah. Other places in the Bible. A common one we hear of is Psalm 23.
And about that, we don't even think about it.
And verse 5, yeah. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
And when we think about God and we eating at the same table, how can we forget Holy Communion? Jesus giving his own body and blood in a very small, quiet celebration, but still, it is a celebration.
Who is this who spreads the victory feast? Who is this who makes our warring cease? Jesus, risen Savior, Prince of Peace. God and man at table are sat down. Down. hearts also here. Repentant publicans are drawing near. Wayward sons come home without a fear. God and man at table are sat down. God and man at table are sat down.
One of the most important verses of this whole segment is verse 10, the very end of this whole thing. After Jesus said to Zacchaeus, come down, I'll have dinner at your house, and you're a son of Abraham. Verse 10, Cecilia.
For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost.
That's huge, because everyone would have known and believed that Zacchaeus, a tax collector, was lost. I mean, he was miserable. He was a cruel guy, stealing, helping the Romans. Oh, on and on you could go. And yet, what does Jesus say? He came to seek and to save the lost. And that was not only a challenge to the Israelites of that day and the Pharisees, because they thought they were saved, but it is a blessing for you and me. Once again, open it up to the whole wide world. And you'll see in the next lesson, this is actually a swing verse, a pivot verse, the hinge pin. You know how a door opens and closes? It's got that little pin on the hinge and it swings on that. This is the verse that does it, because from here, Jesus enters Jerusalem to do the work of salvation, to seek and to save the lost. But that's going to be our next lesson. We invite you back. But until then, please write us.
We love comments, and we haven't had any for a while, so please write us. You can do so at info.
I-N-F-O.
At not-alone.net. N-E-T.
And remember,
we are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Interlude musicians, Robert Vaughn and Terry Nord. The Bible in Living Sound. www.bibleinlivingsound.org. God and Man at Table Are Sat Down, as recorded on the Beloved Disciples CD by Vicky Ball.